This is Radio MD COVID-19 Daily, your source for COVID-19 news from the front lines of healthcare. I'm Caitlin White. It finally feels like spring is on its way. It's Tuesday, May 19th. Later in our episode, hear about a group of California-based physicians who went to New York City recently to work side by side with doctors and nurses and bring information back to their home state. And now our news update. The first coronavirus vaccine tested on humans has yielded positive results in a small number of people, according to the maker of the vaccine, Moderna. The Massachusetts-based company said it plans to move ahead with the next two phases in which larger numbers of people will be tested. The vaccine uses something called the messenger RNA approach. It does not require a virus to make the vaccine. If 80% of Americans wore masks, COVID-19 infections would plummet. That's according to a new study from UC Berkeley's International Computer Science Institute and the Hong Kong University of Science and Technology. The confusion over how and where to wear a mask is what led the lead researcher to develop the study a few months ago. The research was based on death rates due to the virus in Japan, where despite staying relatively open as a nation, the Japanese death rate is 2% of America's. Researchers believe this is mostly because they are so diligent about wearing masks. Restaurants all over the world are developing quirky ways to get customers back in at a distance. With one of my favorite tactics I've seen so far, we go to Radio MD's Bill Klaproth.
A cafe in Germany has celebrated its grand reopening to customers after lockdown by handing out pool noodles to maintain social distancing. Yes, pool noodles. Rather than using floor markings or taping off seating to keep people apart, the owners of the cafe distributed straw hats with two colorful swimming noodles attached to the top. So imagine wearing a cap with helicopter rotor blades, but the blades are pool noodles. This was the perfect method to keep customers apart and a fun one, the owner said. Our customers were really into it. So could a helicopter hat with pool noodles be coming to a bar near you? At this stage, I wouldn't count anything out. For Radio MD News, I'm Bill Klaproth.
And yesterday was International Museum Day. And even though most museums are closed, did you know you can still virtually visit world-renowned institutions like the Metropolitan Museum of Art and the American Museum of Natural History online? We'll have links to those in our show notes. A group of California-based physicians went to New York City recently to work side-by-side with doctors and nurses to learn everything they can about effective COVID-19 treatment. In addition to providing support to help relieve those physicians who have been working tirelessly for weeks, the group of doctors were also tasked with bringing back what they learned to help the state of California prepare for and effectively treat COVID-19 in the fall when a second wave could hit hospitals hard. Joining us today is Dr. Tom Sugarman, who just got back from his trip to New York. He is the Senior Director of Government Affairs at Vituity and an emergency physician at Sutter Delta Medical Center. So, Dr. Sugarman, tell us about your trip. You just got back a couple days ago from being in New York, and now you're back in California. What prompted those travels?
Well, we had been looking at how we could help with this crisis, and initially in California, we were focused on getting our hospitals and our communities ready for this, and similarly in other areas of the country where we had other partners doing the same thing. And then when it became clear that California was not going to have a huge wave right away, we started looking at other opportunities, and the governor of California asked us to go to New York to help out there and also to bring back information and teaching for California.
So how long were you helping out in New York, and what did you learn from being down there?
I was there for almost exactly 2 weeks, worked more hours than I'd worked since I was a resident, but it was really quite rewarding. I think they're kind of the different things we take away are in a few different categories. So the first category is the people and the healthcare workers in New York were amazing. They went through an unbelievably tough time and rose to the challenge within their limited resources and really provided an incredible service to all the New Yorkers. And the New Yorkers, I think, really recognized that. So that was really quite, I was really quite happy to see that and a little bit surprised. I expected to see a lot of doctors, nurses, techs, who would just be so tired they couldn't really function. And these people were really tired, but they were all working really hard for their patients. So that was really a big positive, I thought. And then we also brought back a lot of medical information and ideas about how this is going to play out if and when we get a big influx of patients in California or elsewhere in the country. I think the benefit of doing something like this is really twofold. One is that you provide a lot of really needed assistance to a community that is really having a terrible time. And we got there a little bit after the worst had hit, but they were still very overtaxed. So it was really rewarding in that sense that we could provide some help, both to the patients and also to the doctors, nurses, et cetera, who had really been working really long hours for 4 to 6 weeks and needed a relief. And then secondly, having seen this firsthand, we have a lot of different and new thoughts and a better insight into how this might play out when it gets somewhere else or when we go to a different state that's hard hit. I think medically, what was really both fascinating but also fairly scary is that when you walked into the hospital, when I walked into the hospital for the first time and saw the unit I was going to be working on, it was really surprising to see a 35-bed unit where every patient had essentially the same problem and they were all super sick with multi-organ system failure. We're used to seeing a few people in an ICU with multi-organ system failure, but usually we see people with different diseases, different stages of the disease. Some people maybe with only one or two systems affected. And here we walked into a place where due to one disease, COVID, essentially every single person had multi-system organ failure. And so that was really eye-opening and surprising and changed the way myself and my colleagues thought about how we're going to approach this when we get back home and when we start seeing these patients in bigger numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Dr. Sugarman, thank you so much for your time and for sharing a bit about your experience with us. And I hope, you know, you gained a lot of useful knowledge from being down here in New York.
This has been Radio MD COVID-19 Daily. Tell us about how you're coping with this new way of life or how you found out about our podcast at COVID19Daily@RadioMD.com. That, of course, COVID19Daily@RadioMD.com. Have another great Tuesday in quarantine. I'm Caitlin White. Stay home and stay healthy.